Amen. We are in a series entitled Believe Big. On the count of three, I want everyone in the room and through the lens online to say believe big. Here we go. One, two, three. This series is about having bold faith in a big God who can do the impossible. And today I want to talk to you about the power of words, the power of words. If you're going to believe big, how many in the room know you're going to have to speak big? You got it. You're going to have to say what the word says because your words are steering the direction of your life. I'm going to say this again because this is real important for you to understand. Your words are steering the direction of your life. You're going to have what you say, so you got to watch what you say. Does that make sense? You got it. You're going to have what you say. Every word that we say, you got it, is important in our lives, and it's making us, it's shaping us, it's creating our future, and so we have to watch what we say. Last week, at the end of my lesson, I made a statement, and my statement was, what you speak reveals what you've decided to believe. What you speak reveals what you've decided to believe. Let's go to Proverbs 18 and 21. Proverbs 18 and 21 teaches us, I need your help with this class, death and life are in the
power of the tongue.
Yep. Where is it at, class? In what?
The power of the tongue.
That's right. The power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So death and life are in the power of the
tongue.
So it doesn't say in the power of the devil. It says the power of the
tongue.
Right? So you have to understand that. So watch this. Death and life for you as a believer is not up to the enemy. Does that make sense? Can I go a little further? It's not even up to God, because he's given you everything you need. You know, he's given you his word, he's given you his power, he's given you his spirit. And so it's up to you and I to understand that death and life are in the power of the
tongue.
And they that love it eat the fruit thereof. I always try to watch what I say. You should always try to watch what you say, because words are not just sounds, they are spiritual containers. All right. When you believe big, you got to learn how to speak big. You got it. In the kingdom of God, faith speaks before it sees. Faith doesn't wait till it sees it and then speaks it. Faith believes it. You got it. And because it believes it, it speaks it. And so it doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what the report is. We have to understand the power of our words, that we should only say what the word says, that we should only say what we want. All right. Because what you say is shaping what you see. Repeat after me. What I say is shaping what I see. All right. How many points y'all think I got for you today? You already know I've got three powerful points that I believe are going to help you as we walk through this lesson today. To just, you know, for some of you all, this may be new and you're like, man, I got to watch what I say. For some of you all, it might be just a good refresher that, hey, I got to make sure that I kind of hone in on my words, and I'm not just talking, you understand, but I'm always saying what the word says. And so we're going to jump in to it. And so everybody say point number one. Point number one, words have creative power. Words have creative power. Genesis, the first chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We all know that, right? It goes on to talk about how the earth was without form, and it was void, and there was darkness on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Watch this. Then God said, what did he say, class? And as a result of God saying, let there be light, what happened? And there was light. So what happened is, and I've taught you this before, but I have to repeat. And the reason that I have to repeat is because we always have new people coming. And I want everybody to always be at the same spot. And I want you to understand that the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the waters. And it's deep and it's dark and it's void. And watch this. And God, what God wants is not there yet. Sometimes in your life, what you want is not there yet. God does not allow what he sees to determine what he says, right? He doesn't look, and because what he wants is not there, he doesn't say, oh my me, because he can't say, oh my God, because he's God, right? He doesn't do that. You got it. He doesn't say, man, what am I going to do? He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, man, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all. He don't do it, because he doesn't talk like that, right? Watch this. He understands what he wants, and he doesn't allow what he sees to determine what he says. He stays focused and says, let there be light. And what happens? Light shows up. Well, you've got to understand that you have the same power, okay? Because we were created in his image. And we were created in his likeness, and we were called to imitate his way of doing things. Are you sure about that, Pastor? 1 John 4:17, they don't have it in the back. It says, as he is, so are we in this earth, right? And so we are not God, but we are like God. You got it? And so you have to understand that we are able to look at situations, and if we see the situation and we don't see what we want, we don't have to put our head down. We don't have to get frustrated. We don't have to start talking doubt and unbelief. We just have to speak into existence what we want. And as long as it's based on the word of God and the promises of God for our life, if we stay in faith, we'll see the manifestation of what we're believing for. Does that make sense? Yeah. So God spoke the world into existence. Hebrews chapter 11 says, through faith we see that the world, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, seeing the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear, all right? And so there was nothing, but God spoke it into existence, all right? And so what you speak over your life, what you speak over your family, what you speak over your future, it really matters. I'm going to say it again. What you speak over your life, what you speak over your family, and what you speak over your future, it really matters. Now, I have a bunch of confessions that I make. I'm a confessions guy because I'm a word guy. You got it? And I'm always confessing the word of God. I'm confessing the word of God over my life, over my marriage, over my health, over my kids, over you, over this ministry. You understand? This ministry is a result of our faith, of our speaking it into existence, of our coming here with nobody. You understand? And not knowing anybody. You got it? And just, you know, speaking to the chairs on Pollock Street before anybody even showed up, and commanding every seat to be filled and lives to be changed, and as people come that their marriages get better, and you know, as they hear the word and apply it in their lives, you know their finances will get better, you know, just those kind of things. And so I have a lot of confessions that I make them all the time, you know, and there's some confessions that I make every single day. I put a couple of them in my lesson because I want to just kind of give you an understanding of kind of how Pastor does it. You can make your own confessions the way you want, and typically we teach you that when you make confessions, it just has to be according to the word of God and what you want. It can't be just what you want. It's got to be what you want, and it's got to be the will of God. Come on, somebody. You can't be single wanting somebody else's husband. That ain't the will of God. Come on, somebody. Right? So you can only say what the word of God says. You got it? And so, you know, I pray for my marriage every single day, and I pray that LaConte and I are in complete agreement and unity, that we work together as a team, and we are an unstoppable force. I say that we don't fuss, we don't bicker, or we don't argue. Pastor, do you, what's wrong? Y'all got a problem with fussing? No, we don't, but it's because we've been saying this for 20 years. You got it? That I watch my tone when speaking to her. Well, Pastor, you yelling at her? No, I never yell at her. Just ask her, you understand? But I don't, because years ago I made it up in my mind that I'm not going to do that. You got it? Because what I say was going to be so. All right? I said, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that there's an incredible level of trust that we have for one another, that we will be married together until Jesus returns. There is no strife or envy in our relationship, and that we are truly in love. There is no lack or shortages, and that we have super surplus in every area of our lives in Jesus' name. So that's the confession that I make, you know, over our lives, you know, every single day. And everything that we say, we have. But now remember, this December, Lady LaConte and I have been married 27 amazing years, but we've been confessing this over and over and over and over and over. And some of this stuff, you got, we have no super surplus in the early days. You got it. We, you know, we have paycheck to paycheck, and Lord, we could use a little bit between the paycheck, praise the Lord. You got it. But what happens is we didn't allow our circumstances or our situations to determine how we were going to live our lives. We understood that the word of God was the final authority in our lives. And whatever God's word said, if we stood on it, we would see it come to pass in our lives. Amen. And so, you know, and then also I've got one that I make for my kids, for Jay and Hannah. For those of you that are new, Jay is in his second enlistment in the Navy, doing absolutely amazing. You know, it is amazing to see how amazing that kid is doing, right? And then Hannah, she's going into her second year at UNC Charlotte, but she's going to go ahead and graduate this year. And because when she graduated from high school, she had already had her associate's degree, and so they're just doing really good. But you know, it's a part of raising them right. It's a part of speaking the word over their lives. You know, just so many things, you know, happening. And this is something I confess this every single day over their lives. Now, it's a lot, but I need God to do a lot in their lives. Does that make sense? Sometimes when we make confessions, you know, past few weeks we've been making our momentum confession. And if you're not careful, you're like, Pastor, that's a long confession. Well, you need God to do a lot of things in your life. Right? So I don't want to just ask him to do a few things. You got it. When he can do everything. I don't want to ask him for a toothpick when he'll give me a tree. Does that make sense? I don't want to ask him for a tree when he'll give me a forest. He's the God of the overflow. He's the God of a more than enough. You got it. So why not believe big? Because God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. So when I pray over Jay and Hannah, I say, Father, I thank you for my wonderful children. I declare in the name of Jesus that they are smart, focused, intelligent, respectful, confident, content, healed, prosperous, and obedient. That they are leaders and not followers and always make good decisions. That they are full of wisdom, joy, and peace. That they are effective communicators. That there be a hedge of protection around them. That they will serve you all the days of their lives. That they will find your purpose early in their lives. That they will remain sexually pure until they become married. That they will marry the right person the first time. I thank you in the name of Jesus that they are excelling in school and in the Navy, and they walk in uncommon, unusual, unexplainable, and incredible favor. I thank you that they are responsible and make the extra effort, that their future is secure and bright, and that their disciples taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. Now, y'all, I have been making that confession over their lives. You got it from when my boy was a teenager, and I was like, boy, Lord, if you don't get this boy, I'm going to get him. You understand what I'm saying? So, because I didn't allow, you know how teens can be, you know, just attitude, you know, if you ever had any teens, you know, praise the Lord, you got it. But what happens is I didn't allow, you know, little behaviors or attitudes to dictate what I was going to speak over their lives. So I ain't never called my kids stupid. Okay. Talk back to me now. Don't stay with me now. Stay with me now, you know. No, because you can't get upset at your child and, you know, you make me sick, you understand? You just like your daddy. Why are you saying those things? Because words are spiritual containers. And if you don't want those things, you got it. You know, I wish you'd just leave out of here and not come back. Do you really? If that happened, you'd be crying, oh, Lord, bring my child back. So you got to watch what you say. Because you're going to have what you say. See, this is why you got to come to a church like this. You got it? You know, this is why you got it. So you can learn the word of faith. You got it? So you can learn the word of God. So you can apply it in your life. So you can get results. And that's why I like to take my time and teach you the word of God. Because I know that the word works if you work the word. Does that make sense? And so you have to make declarations over your life. If you download our church app, we have our confession book on the church app. There's confessions of authority, confessions of healing, confessions for the married people, confessions for the single people, confessions for childbearing, for the ladies that are pregnant. Just there's confessions, you know, of favor and increase and all kind of confessions over your life. And you have to learn on a daily basis to keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, because if you keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, you'll see the word manifest in your life. Does that make sense? And so you have to have a conviction to do it, and your conviction can't be based on what you see. It's got to be based on what you believe. Right? I am seeing, watch this. I was telling somebody the other day, and I'm just so proud of my kids. You got it? And you should talk about your kids too. You got it? You know, and watch this. Even when they're not at their best, you should still be proud of them. Even when they're not at their best, you should still be speaking highly of them. You got it? And so, you know, but I know as a result of me speaking over their lives and binding the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to attack them in their mind and in their emotions, you understand? And those kind of things. And if my kids ever started going down the wrong way, I was bold enough to tell them, that ain't God's will for your life.
You know, I ain't gonna fuss and go off on you, but I'm just gonna tell you, that ain't God's will for your life, and your mom and I are praying. You got it? And you ain't gonna be like that always. You understand? So, because if I train up a child in the way that they should go, the Bible says when they're old, they won't depart. It didn't say they won't try to make a right turn or a left turn, but if I know the word of God is on the inside of them, you got it? And the word of God is an incorruptible seed. Even if they veer off, thank God that my prayers and Holy Spirit are gonna bring them right back to where they need to be. And that's why it's important to bring your children to church. You understand? You got it? You know, I when I grew up, there was no, hey, y'all coming with us? Your mom and I? There wasn't no such thing as that. You got it? My father let me know. You got it? If you're going to live in my house and under my roof, when we go to church, you go to church. You understand? You know, now you raise your kids the way you want to. I'm just saying, you know, the importance of bringing them to church, because over in the kids' ministry, they're not, listen, they're having fun, but they're also learning about Jesus. They're having fun, but they're also learning about our core values, and they're learning the word of God on their level, and you're going to be amazed as they grow and as they develop. They've got so much word on the inside of them. You got it? And so it's important to understand that, because faith speaks before it sees. Faith speaks before it sees. I think I gave you 2 Corinthians 4 and 13 last week. It says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, Paul is talking to about what David said, because David, back in one of the Psalms 116, says, I believe, therefore I speak. And Paul says, I believe. He says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what it is written, I believe and therefore I've spoke. He says, we also believe and therefore we speak. So faith isn't silent. Everybody say faith speaks. All right. So big belief must be backed up by bold confession. So my confession is not based on where I am today, but my confession is based on where I know God is taking me, because he's already declared my end from my beginning. All right. So don't wait to feel it. Don't wait, you know, till I see it, but you have to begin to confess it right now. Why? Because confession shapes manifestation. Confession shapes manifestation. All right, that's point number one. Now, y'all get anything out of this? All right, everybody say number two. Number two, what you say shapes what you receive. What you say shapes what you receive. And so Jesus was with the disciples, and they were going back and forth, in the town. And as they're going back and forth in the town, Jesus sees figs. Leaves on a tree. Leaves on a tree is a sign of fruitfulness. Jesus goes up, wants some fruit. There was no fruit. Jesus cursed it and commanded it to die. Next day, they're coming back by, and all of a sudden, one of his disciples sees it and notices that the tree is dead. He is astonished. He said, Jesus, he says, you're not going to believe this. He didn't really say that, all right? He said, but the thing you said, it came to pass. You got it? I can just imagine Jesus saying, boy, y'all brothers just don't know. And so we'll pick it up at Mark 11 and 22, because Jesus answers Peter, and he says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, or that can be translated as have the God kind of faith. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, everybody say, that's me. You are whosoever shall say unto this mountain, the mountain could be the situation, the circumstance, you know, whatever it is that you're facing. He says, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. And thou shalt doubt, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. I don't want to throw you off, but there can be a little doubt in your head, but as long as you have faith in your heart, it's going to come to pass in your life. Because sometimes it's the enemy that shoots doubt in your mind. And watch this. But when that doubt comes, you can't let it reside. You can't start thinking about it. And you certainly can't start speaking it. You got it? You know, and what you have to do is you have to cast down every imagination and every negative thought and send it back to the sender. Because if you start thinking it, you're gonna start receiving it. You're going to start speaking it. And now it's going to get into your heart. Right? So let's keep going. He says, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Watch this class. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. He shall have whatsoever he says. So the Bible says, I'm going to have what I say. All right? Verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire,
Notice Jesus didn't say, if ye pray, but he says, when ye pray, because he fully expected us to pray. He says, when you pray, watch this now, believe that you receive them, what the promises of God that I read in the Word of God, and if I believe, I receive it, and don't doubt in my heart, what's going to happen? I'm going to have it. So every time I pray, class, the moment I pray, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. You know, lady and I, we prayed on the way today, you know, for the for church today, and just for the anointing of God and the glory of God to be in the house and the presence of God and his manifested presence in your life, things to happen, right? And we pray every Sunday for every seat to be filled. You got it? We pray that every week we grow spiritually, we grow numerically, we grow financially, right? Even though we just raise the offering, it takes on 3 or 4 minutes, you got to trust me, it takes a lot of money to do everything that we do, right? But the reason we don't put pressure on you is because how am I going to put pressure on you and tell you to walk by faith? Watch this. I trust God like I teach you to trust God. Does that make sense? Now, of course, we're in faith that, you know, the members are going to come. They're going to obey God, you know, in their giving and those kind of things, you know. But it can't be under compulsion, the Bible says, because the Lord loves a cheerful giver, right? And so we walk by faith. You got it? Like we teach you to walk by faith. And so we trust God. And so we have to understand the importance of what we say, because number two, what you say shapes what you receive. All right, my last and my final point. Everybody say number three. Number three, your mouth must match your faith. Your mouth must match your faith, all right? I'm not going to do it. I almost looked at your neighbor and said, is he talking to you? But just keep looking at me, all right? Just keep looking at me, all right? But your mouth must match your faith, all right? On the count of three, I want y'all to say what number three is. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Your mouth must match your faith. James 3:10, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. That's a crazy thing. So you got to understand, you've got the power to say what you want to, but the ability, you got it, for things to come out of our mouths is not up to God, but it's up to us. And so James is writing them, and he's talking to them about taming the tongue. He's saying you saying stuff you ought not say. You're talking too much. You understand what I'm saying? And he goes on, and he begins to talk about that little tongue and how powerful it is. And he says, out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and curses. He says, my brethren, these things ought not be. So those of us who are of God, you got it, we should never say anything negative. We should only say things that are positive. Does that make sense? Don't cancel your faith with negative speech. Can I get a? Don't, watch this. You can't pray in faith and speak in fear. You can't do that. You can't pray in faith. You got it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's fear. You got it. You just got done praying. So you can't pray in faith and speak in fear. You can't pray in faith and speak negative, period. Negative about your situation. You got it. Negative about your neighbors. Well, they ain't saved. Well, hopefully God going to use you to raise you up to, you know, to speak into their lives so they can get saved. You know what I'm saying? All right. So you have to watch your heart, because faith cometh by, but it's released by the words of my mouth, right? Watch this. Watch this. But the condition of my heart determines the outcome of my faith. So I've got to stay consistent and speak faith at all times. So I got to speak healing and not sickness. I got to speak abundance and not lack. I've got to speak peace and not confusion. Because if your faith can't move your mouth, how can it move your mountain? Oh, that's a good one right there. If your faith can't move your mouth, how can it move your mountain? So you got to speak what God's word has already said. You got it? All right, let's stand up. Let's stand up. We got to. Y'all get anything out of this? All right. So speak what God's word already says. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of thy mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall... we're going to try it again. And it shall do what? The word of God will prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. The most powerful words you can speak are God's words. When you declare scripture over your life, heaven backs you up, right? And so that's why you say, I'm the head and not the tail. according to Deuteronomy 28. That's why you say, I'm forgiven, according to Colossians 1 and 13. I'm a new creature, according to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. I'm delivered from the power of darkness, according to Colossians 1 and 13. I am kept safe. I'm kept in his safety wherever I go, according to Psalms 91 and 11. I am healed by his stripes, according to 1 Peter 2 and 24. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony, according to Revelations 12 and 11. I am blessing the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth, according to Psalms 34 and 1. Why? Because if I keep saying what the word says and keep saying what the word says, I'm going to see the word manifest in my life. All right? So let's make this confession of faith. This is our momentum confession, and I wanted to make it at least 3 weeks. Amen? And so we're going to make it. Y'all ready to do it? Remember what I taught you. We reverse the reports of men by rehearsing the word of God or the promises of God. All right. Everybody say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that 2025 will be a year of great momentum for me, my family, and those connected to me. I declare no lack, no limits, and no boundaries as I move forward in faith and experience your supernatural power at work in my life. Now say, I receive the wisdom and clarity I need to make good decisions that will affect the rest of my life in a positive way. I expect signs and wonders. I expect miracles. I expect your favor to rest on me in uncommon ways. Now say, I choose to stay focused, be at peace, keep my heart right on a daily basis. I refuse to fall into the trap of offense and make a commitment to stay focused, stay faithful, and stay the course. I thank you that your spirit, the spirit of victory, rests on me and my family. Now say, regardless of obstacles that come my way, I will pray, I will plan, and I will praise my way to victory. Y'all know we got to say that again. Say, I will pray, I will plan, and I will praise my way to victory. Now say, victory in my family, victory in my finances, victory in my health, victory in relationships, victory on my job, victory in my business, victory on my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Now say, victory in every area of my life. Okay, like them old preachers, we're getting ready to close. So somebody say, so Father, come on, say, I'm ready. Say it again, I'm ready. Ready for victory. Nothing can stop me, and nothing can slow me down. Weapons may form, but they will not prosper. I might bend, but I will not break. Now say, I'm about to see something I've never seen before. So say, victory is mine. Come on, victory is mine. Say, victory right now is mine. I decree it. I declare it. It is so in Jesus' name. Now shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is already yours. And so hold fast to it. Why do we make those confessions? Because it's my job to teach you to do this, and that I'm believing that as we make these confessions, that in the week something comes up and the Holy Spirit reminds you part of this confession. Something happens, I'm going to pray, I'm going to plan, I'm going to praise my way to victory. You understand what I'm saying? But what you need to do is you need to go back and keep confessing them and keep confessing them. And if you keep doing it, you're going to see God's word manifest in your life. So Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that your word will not return unto us void. And on this week, we are going to see some supernatural, miraculous things happen in our lives. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the building?